that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
My love's a ghost inside a dream about a memory.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. 14 of the Chico area's finest songwriters will have their works presented in a bigger way than ever before. Small Town, Big Sound is the event, Monday and Tuesday nights at Sierra Nevada's Big Room, where you'll hear songs by Chico tunesmiths performed with elaborate big band orchestrations. Today we'll be talking with producers, musicians, and songwriters from Small Town, Big Sound.
So I'm afraid they'll go and stay away.
On today's program, we'll also hear Chico Art Center director Cameron Kelly interview our own Dolores Mitchell about Mitchell's oil paintings, now on exhibit at James Snidel Gallery in Chico. Her bright and colorful surreal tumble of imagery, inspired by jazz, evokes San Francisco, the city, and its nighttime culture. That's coming up over the next half hour, here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Redding's Riverfront Playhouse opens its latest production, In the Heat of the Night. This gritty and racially charged crime drama plays tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow at 2. The Orland Art Center features work by Molly Flack in the show California, A Celebration. You can visit the gallery Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. Tonight in Chico's downtown plaza, say goodbye to summer with a last Friday night concert of 2016. Music by the Jeff Pershing Band starts just 3 hours from now at 6 o'clock. At Chico Theater Company, Little Shop of Horrors, the world's only musical about a giant bloodthirsty plant. It plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. The Blue Room Theater opens the topical drama, The How and the Why, which plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. 1078 Gallery in Chico presents an exhibit of works by Ruben Herrera, which include 4 different series of drawings. You can see this artwork between 12:30 and 5:30, Thursday through Saturday. The Janet Turner Print Museum, in collaboration with the CSU Chico Department of English, displays prints that have served as inspiration for creative writing students. This exhibit, Visual Metrics, Prints and Poetry, is showing at the new home of the Turner, the just-built Arts and Humanities Building on 2nd Street. Visit between 11 and 4, Monday through Saturday. The Chico Art Center shows paintings that are all just 12 by 12 inches. You can see this exhibit, Small World, Small Works, any day of the week between noon and 4. Tonight, Chico State students showcase their musical abilities at the recital Celebrating Our Talents. The performance will run the gamut from classical to jazz. It happens on campus at the Roland Taylor Recital Hall starting at 7:30. Tomorrow at the university, the Chico World Music Festival will take you around the globe from West Africa to the Middle East to France and beyond. Your musical voyage starts at 10 a.m. in the free speech area. Sunday on campus, enjoy the Emeritus Faculty Recital at the Zing Recital Hall. It features works by Chopin, Brahms, Shostakovich, and Dahl. This celebration of 19th and 20th century composers starts at 2 o'clock. Sunday evening, Colvin and Earl take to the stage of CSU's Laxon Auditorium. This folk rock power duo start their concert at 7:30. Tuesday evening at Laxon Auditorium, the Shanghai Acrobats of the People's Republic of China tumble onto the stage. See juggling, daring acrobatics, and feats of balance starting at 7:30. In Paradise, Theater on the Ridge presents The Veil, a play weaving Ireland's troubled colonial history into a story about the circularity of time and the search for love. Curtain goes up at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow. In Marysville, The Acting Company brings you the breakthrough modern musical by Stephen Sondheim, Company, playing tonight and tomorrow at 8 and Sunday at 2 at Yuba Sutter Arts, 630 E Street in Marysville. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. According to today's birthday boy, Leo Tolstoy, art is not a handicraft. It is the transmission of feeling the artist has experienced.
Let's listen to one of the 14 songs by Chico area songwriters that will be transformed with big band orchestrations for a special event at the Sierra Nevada Brewery's Big Room on Monday and Tuesday nights. Here's singer-songwriter Kyle Williams.
My love's a ghost inside a dream about a memory. Whispers when she's near me, but I'm afraid she'll go and stay away. I'll forget her name. I'll be alone.
We're listening there to Kyle Williams, a Chico songwriter. There's a song he wrote and performed, and that song is going to be one of the songs written by local songwriters. It's going to be transformed for a big production that's next Monday and Tuesday nights at the Sierra Nevada Big Room. We have some people from that production. We'll start with Josh Haig, who is the music director, and I might call him the producer of this event. You did this last year as well.
That's right. Yeah, this is the second annual, hopefully.
Tell me, what is the concept of Small Town Big Sound?
It's basically a showcase of local songwriters where we take the song and Michael Bone, the arranger, gives it the treatment of strings, horns, a large rhythm section, vocalists, and kind of transforms it into a big band sound that will then perform live at Sierra Nevada. We're doing that for 14 different songwriters this time.
14 different songwriters. Are most of those songwriters also performing, like singing their song as well?
I think this year every single performer is fronting their song, which is pretty exciting.
So this is at the Sierra Nevada Big Room. That's one
right.
of the nicest venues in the whole North State. What's it like preparing an event that's going to be performed on the stage at the Big Room?
It's a double-edged sword in certain ways. It's inspiring and exciting to be able to present it in the sound and the visuals in the way that it should be, meaning it's just going to look and sound amazing, and we're going to really do the songs justice on the stage, and people that go will get a really good treat of essentially, I think, the best sound best looking venue in Chico with all this material. But then the other side is that you have to realize that people are used to a certain quality of production at the big room. There's little room for error, and we want to deliver something that we can be proud of and that the audiences will be talking about. So it really makes us step up our game and turn local sounds into, I think, world-class entertainment.
So how many musicians will be on stage?
15 musicians and 15 songwriters. Didn't plan on that. Just
and you have backup singers.
Yeah, it's a string quartet, horn quartet, rhythm section, and two vocalists for background stuff.
What are some of the comments that you've gotten from the songwriters this year and last year about the experience of seeing their song, which was probably originally just them and a guitar, turn into this big thing?
It's really exciting. It's probably my favorite part of the process to hear these performers, these songwriters, see and hear their songs for the first time. And we have a wide range of performers, some that have a lot of experience in arranging and performing in their own right, and some that have very little and are essentially a little green on that side of things. And it's really fun to hear some of these guys come in. You see the kind of the startled look in their face when they realize that their melodies are backed up by all these other players. They get the real kind of shine in their eyes that really makes it worthwhile.
Well, we also have Michael Bone here. He is the arranger, and he's also one of the songwriter performers at Small Town Big Sound on Monday and Tuesday. Why don't we start with your arranging, because that's the biggest job that you're doing for this. Right. What's it like taking a little song, including one of your own, and adding all these extra instruments and this big production value to it?
The songs themselves I didn't look at as small to start out with. We chose from however many submissions and chose them for elements that really felt like they could be backed up by strings or could be transformed a little bit. So the songs themselves, I didn't really change too much the structure. I added, you know, some harmony and moving lines behind the melody and stuff. It was a whole lot of fun just taking finger-picked rhythms maybe and transforming that into some kind of moving string quartet thing. Or horn stabs when the song picks up. So it was really just trying to close my eyes and imagine the song as if it was a big, full production.
Well, let's listen to one of the original songs. In fact, let's listen to the one that you wrote. And this is you performing the song in its original form. And what's the name of the song?
So Good.
And hold her in your arms. How's it make you feel? What form is to be a human being for a while? I died and went to heaven when I did. You've got to try this. It's awesome. It's magic. Cheesy movie said it'd be. If you're lucky,
that's Michael Bone playing the guitar and singing in the original version of his song, one of the songs that's going to be transformed to be performed as part of Small Town Big Sound at the Sierra Nevada Big Room on Monday and Tuesday night. Michael, give us an example or an idea of the kinds of things that you're going to be adding or doing to transform that into something that will fill the big room.
Well, there's a big kind of rising part to the song where the melody keeps rising and the chords are descending. And that was really fun, specifically in my song, to add notes to and really flesh that out and make it build even more effectively. On the original track, it's kind of minimalist.
Well, let's go to Peter Burko. He's another of the songwriters, and he's having his song transformed for the Small Town Big Sound event, which is on Monday and Tuesday night at the Big Room at Sierra Nevada. Hi, Peter. Let's listen to your song, just the original version of it. And this is just you and a guitar?
Actually, no. It's me and Josh playing keyboards, and my wife, Tricia, singing, and Jeff Daub on trumpet.
Let's listen to a little bit of that song. What's the song called, by the way?
The Ballad of Jonesy and Lily White.
Jonesy made a living slinging guitars at every low-down booze joint around the town. He picked up women talking fast. He never went to Sunday mass. Our ingenue fell for this fool. This mismatched pair broke all the rules. Lily fell in love in a whiskey bar.
She strayed into a bar, raspy voice, blue guitar.
It was Jonesy, center stage, and his band was all the rage. It was on that night that the universe aligned. Now Jones's drumsticks, he was getting married. It was a shotgun wedding at the big old church right downtown. You know that Jonesy got the fever when Lily White sang Ave Maria.
The Ballad of Jonesy and Lily White. That's a song written by Peter Burko and sung by Peter and his wife. Peter, tell me a little bit from your point of view as one of the songwriters, what this process has been like, taking this song and then having all these musicians at it and having a big sound in one of the major venues in this area.
Well, we played at this event last year, and I had a feeling of what kind of song would work. I submitted a couple of songs that I felt might be treated well with a big orchestra like this. And I went into the rehearsal the other day with my guitar, fully intending to play with everybody. After the first verse, I just set the guitar down and started singing because they had my song. It was right there. And I got chills up and down my neck performing it because there I am living inside of my song. And Michael had fully envisioned what I wanted. I have this photo. It's Pat Hall and Michael out in the park. We had our first meeting. Michael is showing Pat his song in this songbook of 500 pages that he wrote for the whole show, all 14 songs.
500 pages of orchestrations?
Yes. Oh. And we're talking violin parts, cello parts, trombone, tuba, the whole thing. I mean, it's like a four-piece horn section, full-on rhythm section. Everybody's parts are scored.
Okay, Joshua Haig, the music director and also, I would say, producer of this event. Those nights are Monday, September 12th, and Tuesday, September 13th. What times do the doors open, and when does the show begin?
Yeah, 6:30, doors open. 7:30, the show begins. You can get tickets in person. Mm-hmm. So go down to Sierra Nevada and go in their gift shop, and you can get tickets to the event. If not, you can also get it online. The easiest way to get tickets online is to go to uncledad.co.
Uncle Dad, that's the name of your group that produces all kinds of events, music-wise and theater-wise.
Exactly. UncleDad.co, C-O, and there's a link on the top to get tickets.
Small Town, Big Sound. That's the event that's happening on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Sierra Nevada Big Room. Come hear some local music in a big way.
Where I'm Hello, I'm Cameron Kelly, director at Chico Arts Center. And I'm sitting here with Dolores Mitchell among her exhibition of paintings entitled Dreaming of San Francisco at the James Snidle Fine Arts Gallery. Dolores, you know, we're sitting here with your paintings. There's a real vibrancy in color. You give us a very strong and bold hint of, which is your title, Dreaming of San Francisco. What inspired you to paint this series of paintings?
Well, I love escapism. And San Francisco is a great city to escape to. It has a sense of masquerade, costume, things not being quite what they seem. It's populated by beasts such as lions and sphinxes. Of course, they're bronze and marble. It's one of my absolute favorite cities. When I moved to Northern California to teach at Chico in the 1970s, I started going to San Francisco, sitting on the steps of Victorians, sketching their absolutely inventive decorative details, each one different, each one expressing a unique personality. Of course, I didn't have energy enough to paint during those 30 years of teaching, but I kept drawing. And once I went into retirement, I began painting again, and I was inspired by going to a session at the new San Francisco Jazz Center with my grandson, who's a musician. And I thought, I'm going to paint San Francisco like a jam session, and that's what I've been doing.
So you're really focusing on the feeling you get when you're in San Francisco. A real vibrancy, a hyper color, an exaggeration in gesture, movement, light. How does the medium of oil help you express this vibrancy and feeling?
Well, it's a wonderful medium because it will let me keep changing my mind, which I do frequently. So I can take chances. If I don't like it, I just paint over it. It gives it a little more texture. That helps a great deal. And in these paintings, I've been going for sensation rather than any kind of logical scenes. So it's more or less like a mosaic that I'm doing. I have a problem with heights. So San Francisco and hills. If I go down suddenly one of those hills in a car, I have a scream reflex that startles everyone. And I've tried to get some of that excitement. It's like going down a roller coaster for me. And of course, it gives you constantly changing views of the bay, of rooftops, and that sense of the neon signs. And I just love the energy and excitement of the city.
That is what propelled the series of work. And how does it contrast with the visual work you were doing before this series?
Everyone feels that it's a great departure, but for me it really isn't, because I'm perhaps more known for rice fields, but the rice fields have become fantasies too, where I'm just so entranced by the mist and the color and the fog and the textures and the vitality. I don't see them as that different.
You offer your knowledge and experience that you have built over the last 30 years by, you know, being an art history teacher. How has all of your experience with working with students influenced the way that you have your interviews?
Well, of course, it's influenced everything because I've had 30 years of talking experience and 30 years of projecting to the back of a classroom and of waking up a few of those students who are slumped and sleeping while I'm lecturing. And I'm very curious about what other people do creatively. I'm genuinely interested.
How do you think some of your interest in art history has influenced your painting practice?
Oh, it's influenced it a great deal. Sometimes people say, oh, it's really too bad that you had to teach art history when you trained as a painter at UCLA. And I thought, no, I wasn't ready to launch into a painting career, not at all. But I was constantly learning. I did a lot of travel programs, so I've been to museums in France and Italy and England, and I always would go right up to the paintings, and guards would have to restrain me, and I'd want to see what the artist was doing. Technically, what were they doing? I've always thought I would have had a really good career as an art forger.
That makes perfect sense to me because you have such a deep interest in observing what other artists are doing and understanding their context. So I'm very curious, as someone now in my 30s that is hopefully going to pursue a long career in the arts, both as an art curator and art director, but also as an artist myself, how you have balanced your art practice and your professional career and how you balance it now.
Balance? I don't know about that word, balance. I would say it's more as if I'm doing this running leap and not quite knowing what comes next, but you are going to have no problems at all because you're curious, energetic, multi-talented. You're going to have a great future.
Well, thanks, Dolores. Let's invite everyone to your reception, which is going to be tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. If you haven't been to James Snidle Fine Arts Gallery, it is on the corner of 4th and Wall Street. The address is 254 East 4th Street. And if you need a landmark, the best one is the hands, the large hands that are directly catty-corner to James Snidle Fine Arts. So when you go to City Hall, you see those large hands. Cross the street, walk into the Edwardian building that may appear to be a home, but in fact is a gallery full of local and national artworks, which Dolores's work is now sitting among.
Well, Kelly, what else can people do this same evening?
Dolores, I'm glad you asked. You could also come over to the Chico Art Center. We will be having our reception for Small World, Small Works. And this is a very community-oriented exhibition. It was an open call. Anyone could come and buy a 12-inch by 12-inch canvas and make their expression known. Those works will be on exhibit at Chico Art Center, and please come to our reception from 5 until 7. Also, thank you for the talk that you'll be giving. It's part of our event all about art, and it is in preparation for the bus trip to the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, September 24th. Thanks to Dolores, we will have a preview of some of the special collections and some of the architecture you'll be experiencing when you go on that bus trip.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio, and I'm Tom Kinney.